Welcome to The Scene, presented by The Fragrant Mushroom in Sparta. I'm your host, Emily Newman, and today we are chatting with Jesse Filateo of Filateo Illustrations, and he specializes in graphic design and illustrations. And we're happy to have you on the show. You're also a student at Tech right now, correct?
I am. It's my senior year.
Wonderful. Well, I'm happy to have you here. And I found you through Instagram. I also found you because you did one of the first Friday art parties.
I did them for all of 2019.
Yeah. How did that go?
Pretty great. It was really fun.
Yeah, it is super fun. So are you new to the art world, would you say?
No, not at all. No. So I've been doing it for as long as I can remember.
Yeah. So when did you first take an interest in the arts?
You know, my parents told me a story where I dragged in mud from the house and I ended up, I was 4 or 5 years old and I had painted on the walls with the mud I dragged in. So I would say, as far as I can remember, I've been doing art.
But they just loved you for that.
They did, but they were really encouraging afterwards.
They are. I mean, you've got to encourage your kids when they are going in that direction. I think it's really important to inspire them and bring that out of them. I have 3 children, and they all have an interest in the arts, especially the older one and the younger one. And so I always try and encourage them to develop their own style and to go in that direction if that's, you know, where they want to go. Would you say there was any kind of turning point in your life where you're like, all right, this is it. This is what I'm going to do.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So as early as it started, sometime around high school, you know, with this being a tech town, you know, Tennessee Tech, I really thought about engineering for the most part, mechanical. It was around senior year. And then right at the brink of freshman year of college, I had a change of heart because I realized, you know, as good as I am at engineering and sort of the math and STEM centers, it didn't make me happy. And that was my big decision of jumping onto the art major here at Tech.
I think that's really admirable that you, at that age, had the emotional intelligence to say, I'm not happy with this and I'm going to do what makes me happy. Did you have support from your parents? Because, you know, I can see how that might be tricky, why they might say, are you sure?
Yeah, there's always like a stereotype of like Asian parents always pushing you to do like something in STEM or be like a lawyer or a doctor. But I really appreciate them because it didn't really matter what I did with my life as long as I did my best at that.
I love that. Yeah, that's amazing. Well, I think a lot of parents might not. I don't know. We're getting more into the time. See, I've interviewed some older folks who have. They're like in their 50s and 60s and they're just branching out and starting a career in art. And I'm like, well, why didn't you do it when you were younger? And we grew up in a totally different time where you were really encouraged to take that safe job. So now they're finally doing what makes them happy at 50 years old. So,
Absolutely, yeah.
So I commend you for taking that leap now. I think it's wonderful. Would you say that the culture of the Upper Cumberland influences your craft at all?
You know, I would say so, yeah. I've been thinking about this, too, for the most part recently. I think the thing about the Upper Cumberland is the people I interact with for the most part. So I just turned 21. It sounds a little weird, but, like, it's the brewing scene that really kind of connected me with this town more. Because there's this idea with young people that there's nothing to do here. And you just kind of leave. But after, you know, becoming of age and being able to interact with these sort of people and people older than me in a regular setting, you know, they really influence me and inspire me. The conversations I have with them, because everyone's got a story, but everyone, especially there in the scenes, there's the manager at Hicks Farm Brewing Company. His name is Dirt. You know, there's already a story in just who he is as a person, you know, and I think everybody's got that. But places like that are really inducive to those sort of things.
Well, and you're painting people, right?
No, of course, yeah.
So you're going to want to hear people's story because right. That's all linked up to what you're doing.
No, absolutely, because whenever I create a person or I draw someone, how can I visually show who they are, you know, and like little bits of character in that. So how do I get their personality visually and express it?
Are you painting mostly people? Like, so some of your paintings, they look like self-portraits.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. One in particular. It's lovely. No, I was actually really impressed with that piece. It's absolutely gorgeous. And it looks like you did that at school, right?
It was. It was my final project for my painting class. So I actually made a C, but that's mostly because of attendance. But
you didn't make a C on that project, though.
No, not in particular, no.
Yeah. Was that an A plus?
Yeah, I'll say so.
Yeah. It was just creative. It was just, do you want to describe a piece?
Yeah. So, I know I wanted to do sort of, a nude figure, and I wanted something that was, and then the figure is me, so it's a self-portrait. So I'd tried to be more tasteful about, like, you know, what guy can show.
Mm-hmm.
And my professor had actually told me, you know, if you're a coward, if you change your artistic liberties and your artistic vision because of censorship. So I included a little bit of me down there. But the painting itself, I wanted to show, like, what I was going through, my characteristics. So just like, it's a bed scene, and it's covered in Red Bull cans and like a box of cigarettes. And of course I'm like wearing a dress shirt from like yesterday's clothes from a pitch I had to do for graphic design. And I wanted to encompass who I was, but also you got to show that visually somehow. So it's like the props, quote unquote, that I use every day, or, you know, the clothing or the bags under my eyes. Those are the sort of things that you have to show.
Coming up, we'll continue our discussion as the scene continues here on Light Rock 95.9. What are some of your favorite pieces that you've created and why?
So, like I said earlier, so I like something is more three-dimensional, more structure. So my work, if anything that has those three-dimensional quality of it, like maybe the structure, maybe not just the folded leaf itself, if it sits on something more structure. And also for me, that I, a technical challenge is kind of important to me. So when something is harder to make, and I think it's like, it's a combination of all of those things. Mm-hmm. So if something is really hard to make, and I have maybe some ideas, intention behind it, and, you know, it's three dimensional and all those things combined, that makes me like those work better.
Yeah, I get it. It's something about the difficult ones, and something about the ones that are really easy. You're like, that was too easy. I don't know, for me.
I guess there's not enough or as much challenge, and that's not as fun, I guess.
I guess. Or maybe we're just making it really hard on ourselves. I don't know. So when you're, do you do commissions for people?
I don't do a lot, but I do commission for people. And most of the client that I work with that I do commission for are kind of friend client mm-hmm. situations. Mm-hmm. So if people will come to me and, which, you know, I have, people will ask me to do something. Maybe it's from a catalog or something similar to a catalog. I would just refuse. Yeah. It would be people who like my work and know my style, and they have maybe a modification of the style of a little bit to fit their needs, or basically come to me for a design with just trust me with the design style. And that's when I do work for people.
So what would the process be with that? So they would kind of, maybe would they give you an image of something that they had in mind?
Well, we usually talk about either if they come to see me like in my booth or in display or a show, usually come starting from a particular piece, or if it, a lot of a commission would be like a wedding, you know, so if they've seen something I've done and that could, I could modify or sizes and things, or if I have a big stone or whatever that they would like beyond it. So I could do modification like that. So if they bring me like a JCPenney catalog, then that just, you know, I would just won't do it.
No, that's good. You're honoring yourself.
Right.
No, thanks. And then so you go to work from, if you find a common ground and it's a good relationship, then you go to work on it. How long do you usually allot, you know, time-wise?
It really depends on the work. You mm-hmm. know, if it was a ring, it probably wouldn't take very long. But sometimes I think the planning part and the designing part, or ordering the material, put everything together, those take a little bit more time. But it was something else, a little bit more complicated, really depending on the project.
And speaking of like the process of work, what is something like, so walk me through start to finish, you're inspired to create a piece. What happens from the time you're inspired till the time you put the finishing touches on the piece? Walk me through making one of your pieces.
So I don't remember how I started it, but for a while now, I've just been creating this way, which is sitting down and do not let anything distract me, sit down for a very long period of time, and I just do drawing. We really be like much like a writer, so I'd be doing draft, which I would just do drawings. And since I've started, I will be honest about this, since I've started creating three-dimensional things, which was really a long time ago, because I would say, at least for my professor, I used to be a very good drawer.
Yeah.
And, or painting. And then since I started three-dimensional work, my drawing looked like a kindergarten's drawing, which is really true. It's very, very simple, very, very childish. Mm-hmm. But I just start drawing things. And then I just draw like all day or however long, however many days that it would take. And then and I will take a break. And then I would go back to those drawings. I'll flip pages through pages. And then I will find maybe a piece or two that I want to continue to refine.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll just keep working. And then once I'm ready, then I will do a three-dimensional model or just a type, what would you call that? Just a, you know, just a mock-up.
Yeah.
And then see what it looks like. And then from there on three-dimensional, I guess a mock-up, that also it's my drawing in three-dimensional form. If I need to change something, I could just modify it from there. So, and then something can happen, or I could be, you know, making my models and then it'd be like, ah, oh, that's such a bad idea.
Yeah.
Three-dimensionally. And yeah. So I would stop and change, or I'll just keep going from that point.
Oh, and where can people find your work? That's so important.
They can find me, I guess, locally at through Our Prow, like the show,
mm-hmm.
or my work is at the Craft Center Gallery in Smithville, or they can find me through my website.
What's your website?
SadieWang.com.
Sweet. Thank you so much, Sadie. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Emily.
All right. So what are some of the tools that you work with when you create, like when you're painting?
Sure. And also back to what you were mentioning. So in painting, you know, the brush sets and et cetera, but for graphic design, for the most part, what I usually do, so much of it is on the computer. And there's sort of a rule that a lot of us kind of go by, which is if you can do it for real, then do it for real. So if there's anything that I can be tactile with in a graphic design piece I'm working on or a branding or project, I always start with sketches.
Mm.
And just having that tactile, you know, pencil and paper thing is such a, yeah, it just connects you more to what you're doing, you know, especially with that disconnect of looking at a screen all day.
Mm-hmm.
So any way I can like get my hands physically dirty, because we are like literally the cleanest art of the art majors, because we don't have to deal with anything.
Yeah.
We're essentially in an office building.
Yeah.
So yeah, I would say like being able to work with pencil and paper, but for the most part, I'm working on the computer.
Yeah. And, are you, that was an oil painting that you did, right? Are you,
right.
So, do you prefer oils over acrylics and watercolor?
I'm going to say so. Yeah. It's my first time working. So that was with my first painting class. So first time working with oils, and I used to resent it a lot, but mostly because of the learning curve that it took for me. Cause I'd you know, grown up with acrylics, so they were cheaper. Before that was watercolor. So it was like a new sort of medium for me to sort of grapple with.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, it's so much more satisfying.
It is.
To play with.
Something about it.
Yeah.
Not exactly sure why it feels so good to use oil, but it does. It's I just like how you can lay a layer down and then you can come back like the next day and really work into that layer and build your color. You know?
That was the thing for me. That was I'm an instant gratification kind of guy. Mm-hmm. I gotta work on it like right now.
Yeah.
And it takes a little bit of patience waiting for some things to like dry out and wait. You
know? But think about like too. I think a lot of us like will get real involved in a project and you don't want to pull away from it. But then you pull away from it and you give yourself some time. Like say you've got to give it some time to dry and maybe it's a day and then you come back with a fresh set of eyes, a fresh perspective, and I think that can actually be a good thing.
No, I think you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
For that self-portrait, I was staring at myself for, you know, like 6-7 hours at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And you already have this idea of how you look in your head. But once you step away from it, it starts to look like you're looking at a different person.
Yeah.
And it helps you like pick out what you really look like and who you really are.
That's neat. I think I'm going to do a self-portrait. I did one once, but I think it'd be fun to do one now. And to kind of express your feelings in a different way. I like that. How would you brand your style of art? Or would you brand it?
You know, I think stylistically, I'm an illustrator, so I like figures and I like sort of heavy inking things, so mm-hmm. things with really defined lines and contours, and you call it cell shading, like blocking out colors within those lines I've drawn. But like doing graphic design specifically, it's like, I think it's you're really fortunate to do something that you're known for, or people hire you because you're known for doing mm-hmm. a certain thing. But for the most part, graphic designer has to be really good at doing someone else's vision and someone else's style. So I like to pride myself and be able to apply myself to a client. But for the most part, I think the thing that defines my art is I always like to have what I call Easter eggs within a piece. So like for the first Friday posters I did for Art Round Tennessee.
Are you the one who does those?
I did. I did them for 2019. There's a new artist for 2020.
Oh, so. I love yours. Well, I mean, you. I'm sure they're going to be great.
No, they're great.
No, I liked yours a lot. I'm like, those are so cool.
Yeah, shout out to Hannah Mansky. She's the next artist doing those and illustrating those posters.
Sweet.
So they're switching back and forth with styles. But within those posters I did, I like having little tidbits and nuggets of humor, like visually. And at the most, you'll get like an exhale from your nose or like a little chuckle.
Yeah.
But like in the first one, I had I set it up as like the Last Supper scene. And they're all, you know, sharing yes. in this alleyway. But at the bottom in the corner, there's this little girl playing with this stray dog, and little nuggets like that. There's one I did recently for Hicks. One of the bartenders is popping his head up behind the bar stool, the bar table. And it's like those little elements like that of humor that I think define who I am.
More of our conversation is coming up on the scene here on Light Rock 95.9. Welcome back to the scene. It's brought to you by the Fragrant Mushroom in Sparta. This is where we discover and uncover artists and their art form from around the Upper Cumberland. This is your art.
My name's Emily Newman, and I'm your host. I am with Maggie Sunsera of Forest Gems, and Maggie specializes in silk art. We've got a couple of really beautiful pieces here, so describe, first of all, if somebody gets one of your pieces, what they're getting.
They're getting a hand-dyed piece of material, wearable art is what I call it.
Tell us the process behind your silk pieces.
I do a silk-to-silk transfer on scarves. So I'm actually taking silk scraps and laying them on a silk blank scarf. Then I'm wrapping them up and cooking them for 2 hours in a vinegar water bath. And when I'm done, the silk color transfers to the blank silk scarf so that you have an array of colors that will mix right next to each other. I can have a red and a yellow, but they will not blend in together with this process. I also do an ice dyeing process, and I'll do that on silk or bamboo rayon, where I take a scarf outside and lay it on a screen, pour ice all over it, and then I'll sprinkle powdered dye on it. And with that, as the ice melts, it forms its own design in the scarf itself.
So is that the one that has like the floral type pattern to it?
I call it a Monet painting.
It looks like a Monet painting. And then how does one wear these scarves?
Okay. You can wear them as just like a man's tie. You can also fold it twice over as a loop and just pull the ends through. Or you can pull one end through, twist the loop, and pull another end through. They also work well as table runners.
Well, I see you have a table runner on here right now, and it looks lovely. And she has a lot of soft colors, and then she's got some blue and white patterns. And these in length, how long do you say one of these is?
They are all 6 feet. Some may be a little longer than 6 feet.
So you have lots of options with what you can do with them because they have plenty of length on them, and they're beautiful, and they would go well with any type of clothing.
They also work well as a good head wrap.
Yeah, I could see that too. Well, thank you so much. And where can we find your work?
My work is on display at the Art Center in Cannon County.
Wonderful. Thank you, Maggie.
Thank you.
Helping guide you on the path to a new craft. It's your art on the scene.
So did you have a favorite creation that you've done?
Yeah, so I had to think about this a lot because it's hard to pick your favorite, you know, mm-hmm. something you do. And I would say I had a portrait I needed to do for one of my classes, and I wanted to do a new figure because I'd never done one before, and I specifically wanted to do a female figure, but it's so hard to find like a nude model. So I'd actually, this is the most art student thing I've ever said, but I traded one of my friend's Polaroid cameras in exchange for her to model for me, and I wanted to do a life size, so she's 5'7", so the portrait would have been 5'7", but as I was doing it, I realized my proportions were wrong. She looked like a hobbit, and she doesn't look like that in real life. So I ended up, you know, adjusting things and scaling it up and scaling it down. And she ended up being 9 feet tall. So currently there's a 9 foot tall nude in my living room that greets people at the door.
Nice.
I think that's why it's my favorite. Just the story behind it.
Yeah. It's sometimes those screw ups that actually make the art really cool.
Yeah. She's really intimidating.
Yeah. Like I said, 9 foot. And so if somebody commissions you to do something, what's the process that is behind that?
So working with a client, it's less about art for me and more about, I guess, like, you can quite say the boring stuff, but like branding projects and flyers, brochures, or a poster. Not that they're not fun, but working with them, the big thing I think all art has to do, and especially graphic design, is leave you feeling different than how you saw it, you know, before you saw it, and the emotions behind that. So the one thing I always talk about with a client off the bat is, what do you want people to feel, or how do you want to leave people feeling? And we don't even talk about like the visuals. We talk about the emotions or what they're trying to capture. And then from that, we work towards, okay, well, what does that look like? You know, what elements or what styles of art make people feel that way? And how can we apply that to you?
So once you you get down those elements, then you begin designing?
Right. So we'll take a basic style and element. So, for example, we work with the emotions, then we get to what we want that to look like, and me and the client will look at different art pieces, or they'll show me something on their phone that they really like, and what in particular they like about that sort of thing. And from that, it's like, well, how can we apply what you're looking at to what you want? And how do we do that without essentially ripping off someone else?
Mm-hmm.
So there's this idea that everything's been discovered. Everything's, like, in terms of art, everything's already been done before. And that's discouraging to some people, but I think for a lot of artists, it's also encouraging. So it's less about trying to create something new, but more about remixing. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, how can we take something that exists and make it something different somehow?
Mm.
And the more you remix something, the more it actually does become something new.
Mm-hmm.
And after we work with that, you know, we kind of workshop back and forth. I'll show them what I think my vision of what they want is, and they'll communicate to me that, no, yeah, this is it, or maybe this isn't it. And it's just a back and forth conversation until we get something that we're both happy with. Because the last thing I want is something I love, but they don't, or vice versa. You know, like, being on the same page is really important.
Absolutely. And then you work out, you know, your pricing. And
Right, of course.
And so, how long does it usually take?
The big thing is, like, it does depend. So some logos, some brands aren't as intricate as others.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean, in particular, that they're valued any less or they cost any less. So for the most part, we don't really work in hours per se. So because sometimes something I'll do will take so much longer for me to have done. So we work in what we call packages. So you get like a branding package, or it's sort of like a flat rate per se of what you're getting.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. And then what do you find most inspiring? Like, how do you get inspired to create?
Yeah, that was, thinking about that was a little bit of a stumper for me. But it's a little counterintuitive, but it's not something that really exists that inspires me. I think it's the lack of something that inspires me. So, like, talking about the bar scenes or the conversations I have with people, everybody has an idea and everyone has a vision for something. And most of the time it's something that doesn't exist yet. So it's like, I wish this was here, or I wish this was done differently. I wish this was done better. Or there's something in town that they don't particularly like, they want changed. And that's something that doesn't exist yet, but that's the thing that pushes me to do something more. You know, it's like, well, how, I want to be the one to make that thing, you know, or I want to be the one to put something in that space. So I think it's partially the void, but also,
it exists within you.
Absolutely.
It's just not physical.
Right. Yeah.
That's why you feel inspired.
And I would say it's a two-part thing, too, because I know I said it's like, oh, it's nothing that inspires me, but it's also, I like the mundane a lot. And in graphic design, you'll notice a lot of us actually just have folders full of random images and textures and just photos of what other people would see as nothing. So I actually have got a folder full of a particular bathroom drain I really like. One of my friends saw that and she made fun of me for it, but I was like, no. Like, this is like something that came out of the 1960s. You can tell by the font, and you can see like how the font has been like sort of curved and is more rugged, you know, in this copper plate. And there's like patina, and it's like there's green around all the corrosive little drain holes, but also the raised edges are polished from like years of mopping. like all of those things, I feel like I can apply that somewhere. Mm-hmm. And I have.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're collecting a lot of images.
Yeah. Of odds and ends of bits of things, or like I'll see like a really fascinating font I really like, and like on like a bus side or something like that. And it's not like a great picture, but it's the elements in that picture that I take.
Yeah, yeah. I do that as well. I have this weird board on Pinterest where I look at tree bark.
Yeah.
All these images of tree bark, find tree bark inspiring. It's funny, the things that will inspire you. Well, we're going to wrap up. Where can we find your work?
Filoteo Illustration on Instagram. I've also got Facebook that's not as up to date, but Instagram is the best way to get
it.
Yeah,
yeah. We're Instagram is where it's at, right? Yeah. All right. Well, we appreciate you coming out today. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. Welcome to The Scene, presented by The Fragrant Mushroom in Sparta. I'm your host, Emily Newman, and today we are chatting with Louis Columbarini of Cosmic Clay Studios. And Louis specializes in unique, one-of-a-kind, primitive fire decorative ceramics. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing rather well. I just wanted to make it a point early on that I do collaborate with my wife, Christine, for over 40 years in Cosmic Clay Studio business.
So how long have you been doing this?
Over 40 years now. I got interested in ceramics in my senior year of college, and I had taken several other classes in the arts, metalwork, being jewelry, woodwork, painting, drawing, all those various different mediums. And I fell in love with clay. I just took to the pottery wheel like a duck to water. And that was at SUNY Geneseo in upstate New York that I first got interested in clay. Moved to South Florida and wanted to continue my education in clay, having no formal education, and really couldn't afford to do that. So at that time, I moved to Florida. I took a job with the Fort Lauderdale Fire Department, and I had lots of time off to go back and audit classes in ceramics and gained far more knowledge than I did in undergraduate school. It was non-degree seeking, but the instructor took us, a couple of us, under his wing and helped us quite a bit in gaining the knowledge we needed to pursue our love for clay.
Well, it's interesting because you have created your own style. You might not have done that if you would have taken the formal art classes that you wanted to take. You know, you seems like you kind of went about it a different route, and then now you have this style that's all your own. And so sometimes sometimes that struggle makes things happen in a different way.
You're absolutely right. It does make quite a bit of difference because the more classes you take and learn something, you have a tendency to start following the course you've been dealt, so to speak, in classes. Mm-hmm. And Christine and I met at Florida Atlantic University in Boca Raton, Florida, in ceramics class. And we were both good enough, I felt, to go on and get our Master of Fine Arts in clay and possibly pursue a teaching career. However, we decided to hit the streets and do it our way and, you know, grow and stay as creative as possible and true to our art.
And so where can we find your work? Because that's most important.
You can find our work by contacting us online at, again, cosmic-clay.com, or reach us by cell 931-314-9059. I noticed that several galleries are starting to open up in the Cookeville area, and I have been approached by Ron Baker. I even forget what the name of his gallery was. He's a photographer, and he's over on Spring Street, having just opened up, and he expressed an interest in us displaying and having some work on display in the gallery there. And I just recently spoke with him, and we'll be putting some work in that gallery in mid-February or so.
How exciting. Yeah. So now we can just drive right by and stop in and see your work.
Absolutely.
After hearing about it. And it's exquisite, I have to say. So thank you so much, Louis, for coming on our show today. It was a pleasure to talk with you. And
all mine.
That's it.
Thank you for having us.
You're welcome.
It.